Pixels, oof. Right? So what happens is with your brain is that, you know, you have two hemispheres of your brain. The pixels only activate one side of your brain.
Oh.
Right? Whereas when you read actual print, there's actual ink, right? And so right. your brain is picking up not only just the words, but the calligraphy of the words.
Sure, the font.
And yeah, the actual font. And so you use both hemispheres of your brain.
Sure. Well, because it's a picture. It's either a letter is one symbol that is a picture. It's a picture symbol. And when you're reading it on a screen, it's 100 tiny little blips of light that become a letter. Yeah. It's like instead of one image, it's multiple images being one image. It's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah, it is mind blowing. And that's one of the reasons why I think kids don't want to read anymore. They're kind of gravitating towards looking at video or looking at film.
And it's vapid consumption of images. See, that's the problem I have is that.
But they're smart as hell.
I know, but they need, but we can teach them when they make pictures in their own head, that's only going to make them smarter.
Right.
Like the idea that TV and movies and visual images are what they kind of gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. That's because it's easy. Mm-hmm. Because when you read a book, you have to take those little symbols and you have to put those symbols into words. And then you have to think, oh, what does that word mean in which language? And what does that mean? And then you put them in sentences and then they create pictures in your head. Yeah. There's a lot of higher order fucking thinking going on when you're reading. You know? And so that we're losing that.
Yeah.
And that's scary. And then we wonder why kids don't care. We wonder why we have a president who watches TV all day and doesn't read books and doesn't actually study. Because why would... Because I already know everything. We don't. They're so...
So you're not a Trump supporter?
Oh, God. Well, how could I be? How could anybody in California be? Are you?
I like to think of myself as a Trump empathizer.
Empathizer?
Yeah, I'm not 100% a Trump supporter, but I do empathize with him.
But he's an egotistical maniac. He's out of control.
Most guys are, you know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I've...
But Obama wasn't. He was so humble and
Obama was an actor. He was the best actor we've ever had as president.
You think so?
He should have got an Oscar.
But he's a constitutional lawyer.
Yeah, lawyers are actors, right?
Yeah, like, but I believed him. I believed everything he said.
I believed his wife.
I believe his children.
I did too.
I
voted for him the first time just to say that I voted. So first of all, I don't actually believe in democracy. So
what do you mean?
I don't believe democracy. You know, I going back to Plato. Plato said democracy can never work
because we as people are too stupid.
Yeah, because dumb people are going to vote for dumb people. So,
right.
You know,
because it's a popularity contest. Because democracy is a popularity contest.
At the end of the day, I mean, it's supposed to be for the people, but I mean,
What do you want, an aristocracy? Do you want to get back to kings and queens or
no? So Plato actually mapped out this government that has never been implemented. And the reason it can't be implemented, because it kind of probably needs to start at the very beginning of time, I think. so he basically said the perfect city state or perfect government is the same as a perfect human being, right? So a perfect human being needs to have his rational, righteous mind controlling the irrational spirit, which controls the weak body.
Okay.
So he said as a city state needs to be the same way. We need to have the, not just the smartest, but righteous as well. You have to be righteous as in righteous and just.
Who decides who's right? Because
that's the hard part.
Because when the righteous people are usually self-righteous and we're like, fuck you. And then they're hypocritical as fuck.
And the righteous ones, you don't even know that they exist because they're so humble.
Right. Exactly. Because they have quiet integrity and they don't wave it up in the air and go, look at me, look at I just tipped $20 or, you know, like what I just gave up, like Jesus in the church, or I just gave $100 to the church. It's like give quietly, give of your heart. don't give seeking reward. But now it feels like people only give seeking reward. How do you measure righteousness?
That's the hard part. That's probably why the government has never been implemented, because it has to start at the beginning of time, right? So how do we change our government to that government? I thought it'd be a very difficult process. But to finish, just so the righteous rational thinkers needs to control the irrational army, which controls the masses of people who really deep down in their heart just want to be told what to do, which is like 90% of the population.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, but I never want to be told what to do. I hate
so
that.
So you're probably part of the 10% that doesn't, you know?
That's in charge.
Yeah, the righteous and rational. Yeah, you're technically, I mean.
But look, I was, but I'm a woman, so at the time, he was only talking about men.
At the time,
because
yes.
Women didn't even have, we weren't even people.
Yeah, yeah. Technically. Yeah. And then his protege, Aristotle, said that you're not a perfect, he went a step further and said you have to be a man to be a perfect human being. You actually have to be a man, you have to be tall, you have to be rich. And I think that was, and you have to be attractive.
But rich in spirit is different than actual money. How important is money to you? Just that's a random question, but
how
it goes to people.
How important is money to
yeah.
me? I don't really like money. I don't really.
Well, on a scale
it.
From like it's just little pieces of paper that float through my hands, and you're just like blah, blah, to like I save and I'm totally saving up for this, or I've got like you know like every penny I'm accounting and my checkbook is always balanced.
So yeah, a little bit history of me. So I went to school for economics and accounting.
What?
Yeah. But I always had theater in my heart, right? So I did theater on the side, you know, and I ate up a lot of my units doing theater, which I shouldn't have done, but I enjoyed it. And then once school was over, to keep my acting chops going, I started doing comedy, and then I started getting a fan base, and I said, oh, well, I'll just keep doing this thing. But so my day job, what I do during the day, is I am a financial broker. So,
whoa.
Yeah, mind blowing. I do so
but,
many
but
things, right?
Being a minister isn't a day job?
No, that's a life job. That's yeah. People call me in the middle of the night to go pray for their sick aunt who's in the hospital.
Whoa.
So, you know, that's 24/7. That
yeah, but
stop.
You, but it doesn't pay you enough that you can just be a minister.
No.
That is so sad that you've dedicated your life to the church and you don't, do you get a free place to live?
No. Pro
what
bono.
Do you get out of it? You're a pro bono
spiritual,
minister?
Spiritual compensation.
You're a pro bono minister. I thought that the whole point of like being a minister or being a priest or whatever is that you got free room and board.
That's the problem.
What?
That's the problem.
I don't get it. That's because people think that?
Yeah, because people think that. I mean, Jesus wasn't poor. Like, we have this image of him being poor, but he wasn't poor. He just always, people always gave him stuff from birth. They gave him gold and a bunch of crap, right? So he was always well off. He just, he would preach that it's, you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's not, it's meaningless. But it does. So that's why you ask how important is it? It's like, well, in the world that I live in, it's a 10 out of 10.
Ooh.
But, you know, I don't care for it that much, but it is important because you have to live and survive. So it's somewhat important. I wish it wasn't so important in the world, but it is. So in my own life, is it important? Yes. But I wish it wasn't, you know? So I don't know. It's interesting. So and as a financial broker, yeah, so I have a lot of clients, and I got to say, I have to be confidential
yeah,
with this
absolutely.
Stuff, but, basically, yeah, I teach them on how to save properly and how to invest properly. And there's certain things that you just have to do, that the rich fat cats are doing right now. You know, when Trump said, I don't pay any taxes, you know why he doesn't pay any taxes? Because there's certain accounts that you can put your money in that's completely tax-free, which is what I teach my clients to do, which is what I do.
Right.
So, I mean, I know the rules. I don't quite believe in the rules, but they are the rules. You know
right.
what I'm saying? If I have to play basketball, then I might as well play it the best I can and know all the rules.
And know the rules. That makes sense. See, I think that money is what is tearing us apart, and that is what is absolutely wrecking humanity, is that especially as Americans, we feel like people only have worth and value that's associated with dollar bills.
Right.
And when you say
it's
worth
really
and when you say value and when you say values and these kinds of things, they should be esoteric. They should be
yeah.
part of your, we don't believe in a soul anymore. There should be integrity. That's like the whole thing that's been making me crazy is when little kids are like, fake it till you make it. I'm like, no, learn, practice, do, practice, discipline, but, practice, learn.
But look how many people are financially successful from just faking it. I mean, I do hip hop, and like in the hip hop industry right now, it's like, you don't even have to be a good rapper anymore.
Yeah.
You just have to just look like you have a lot of money and look like you know, and do something that's extreme. Like, like dyer hair rainbow color or something like that, and then, and then have a crazy social media presence, and then you can be a successful rapper nowadays.
Wow.
You know, it's very, is it, it is what it is, you know.
I get it. I mean,
this way. But back to what you're saying though, the Bible actually doesn't say money is the root of all evil.
It doesn't?
It does.
Who came up with that?
It actually says the love for money is the root of
all. Okay.
So that's why the world is where it is, because people are in love with money and not in love with themselves or God. They're in love with money.
But it's also that people are judging each other based on how much. People who don't have enough money aren't people.
Right.
Like when Trump says that he wants to give everyone on food stamps drug tests. Excuse me? Like, what are you, or that everyone on food stamps is going to get now like a box of food, like, so they, like, they're not worthy enough to make their own choices.
I've been following a lot of things he's saying lately.
But it's like, it's saying that these people over here, these poor people, they're not smart enough or good, because if they were smart and good at what they did, they'd be rich by now.
I don't know if that's what he's saying.
I think people aren't people. Because they can't buy. Because if you're a good American, you're a consumer and you buy. And what makes you a good American is by buying things in being a part of the economy. Mm-hmm. And our government does not respect esoteric gifts. They do not appreciate artists.
Right.
And
artists getting out of the school system now.
And now it's saying that hip hop, saying, yeah, dye your hair rainbow colors and say bitch a lot and look like you have money. And now you're a hip hop artist. You're an artist.
Yeah. It's very interesting that you say that. But here's what I think Trump was trying to say, because when I first went, when I first went to school in college, you know, I came from, you know, I went to a high school that was near Oakland in San Leandro. And so I went to Logan first 3 years. And my last year I went to San Leandro. And before that, I hung around a lot of people from Hunters Point.
Oh, yeah.
And so I kind of got turned out in a way where I was like, oh man, F everything. And like my whole demeanor changed. Everything, you know, I was hanging around certain type of people that were just, you know, ghetto or a hood or whatever you want to call it. Right. And so, I remember when I first got my financial aid check, right? Because it was from the state of California, right? Free money. I went to the mall and bought clothes, right? I know a couple guys who bought Jordans, you know, $200 shoes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, which I think what Trump is trying to say is that there are people who do abuse the system. I was one of them. I abused the system. And I know a lot of people who still abuse the system. People who don't really need food stamps, but still, you know,
but
take them.
Everyone should have access to food.
That's true. But I mean, he's saying, then food is one thing, but if you're giving someone money and then they go use it for drugs.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Right? Then I think that's what he's trying
to say. But with food stamps, you can only buy food. I mean, unless you sell them illegally to someone, be like, I'm going to take you food shopping.
Yeah,
but
some people
buy,
do that, yeah.
You can buy $30 on my food stamps, but give me $20 worth of drugs or whatever. I'm not sure how people work that kind of stuff. But I mean, I'm on food stamps.
Yeah.
And I'd say there's no shame in the game. If you're like, I'm an artist and I don't get paid a lot of money, so
I
feel like I deserve to eat food.
For real, I feel you.
Like so,
I feel you. So yeah, that's why I go back to the I'm a Trump sympathizer. I'm not really a Trump supporter, but I am a Trump sympathizer, because at one point in my life, the media ran my name through the mud.
Really?
Yeah. So there was.
Will you talk about that? What happened?
I don't really like talking about it, I guess it's time.
What do you mean? You got publicly slandered?
All right. So here's the story. I guess this is my first time really saying this publicly, and so everyone's probably gonna hear this. And yeah, if you Google Juan Rubin, Jawaan, last name Rubin, Rubin. By the way, my last name is Rubin, which is a Jewish name for ruby, or Yiddish for ruby. My first name is Arabic. So I'm actually the peace of the Middle East.
Right. Cool.
Because there will never ever be an Arabic first name and Jewish last name ever. And my dad didn't know that. But anyway, so if you Google my name, Juan Rubin. So what happened was my sophomore year in high school, what had happened was that I... I was on the basketball team. I was on the freshman basketball team my freshman year, and I was balling out of control. I averaged about 30 points a game.
And damn.
Yeah, I was kicking ass. I was all over the place. And then, so my sophomore year, there's a little issue. My dad didn't like the coach at that time. I don't know. Do you know anything about LeVar Ball?
No.
Okay, never mind. Okay, so anyway, so my
I
dad didn't
follow the Warriors.
Yeah, my dad didn't like the coach because of something. My brother was there 4 years before me, and you know, he had held on to some of his letters from different colleges because my brother was getting approached by different colleges, and the coach held on to the letters, didn't give it to him until like the end of his senior year. By then, it's like, oh,
too late.
Yeah, too late, you know. And so my dad was really mad at him, and so I didn't want to go to that school for that purpose.
Sure.
I was like, can I go to a different school? Since you don't like him, why would you send me to a school that you don't like the coach, whatever? So anyway, my freshman year, I'm playing on the freshman team, and I'm scoring 30 points a game, you know, doing my thing. And then next year, you know, I got asked to go to the varsity tryouts, and then the first day they sent me to the JV tryouts the next day, right? And so from that, so when I told my dad that, you know, he got pissed off.
Because he wanted you to just be on varsity because
yeah.
you're that good. Yeah, you should be a sophomore, you should play. Yeah,
yeah, he got pissed off. There was a lot of politics involved, but he got pissed off. And then long story short, he told me not to go to the JV tryouts. And I'm like, you know, in my heart, you know, I'm a 15-year-old kid.
I just want to play basketball.
I just want to play. I don't really care where I'm playing. You know, if that's the case, if he doesn't feel I'm good enough, whatever. But I didn't speak up for myself. I was a really quiet kid when I was younger, so I didn't really speak up for myself. I went to the JV practice, and my dad found out, and then he got mad and told me to come back. So I had to leave within 10 minutes or whatever. So he got really pissed. Anyway, so 2 days later, you know, I'm walking to class at school, and you know, everyone's approaching me like, hey, you know, what your dad sued the school?
Whoa.
And I'm like, what? So I'm like, no, I don't think so. So it was all in the newspaper, in the local news, and the story got so big that it ended up on HBO with Brian Gumbel.
What?
I mean, the story got huge. And then I remember this is pre-Google, right? Then Yahoo was still the search engine, right?
Wow.
And so my junior year, one day, I'm Googling myself just to see just to see, you know, what I would see. And it's just like 50 articles about that lawsuit, right?
Whoa.
And I'm just reading through it. And like some of the things some of these journalists were saying were just so untrue.
Wow.
Just so untrue. And but they're trying to sell a story or whatever they're trying to do. They're just
well,
so
what
untrue.
Was the story? Is that you're like, you think you're the best player.
Yeah,
you've got such an ego that you're like, I'm not going to play on JV.
Yeah, they're saying, oh, listen. This little whiny kid.
We're gonna sue them to get you on varsity.
Yeah, they thought it was all me. They're blaming me more than him. And then they're like some journalists were saying, you know, they were just the way they're describing my dad physically. I was just like, dude, you don't have to say all that. You know, like, just, I don't know.
Were you pissed at him for doing that?
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty pissed. Actually, that's why I left the house at 18 and just didn't want to come back. And I ended up coming back. And then I, you know, I started reading in the Bible on how you should honor your mother and father and have forgiveness. And so, you know, that's kind of how our relationship mended. But thank, you know, praise God for that, you know, for me, you know, because now he's on his way out, you know.
Aww.
he's a lot older. So I'm glad we mended and we had a good time before this. But anyway, yeah,
did you get to play basketball?
Yeah, so that's why I had to go to San Leandro High to finish out my year. But it, you know, so that's why I empathize with Trump, because I've been in that situation where journalists or reporters are reporting stuff that's not 100% true, and they're just trying to like throw your name in the mud, or you know, and they don't care. You know, I've never met these people.
Was that tough? You got really, I'm sure you were incredibly popular. Was that scary that like everybody knew who you were, like everywhere?
Yeah, it was a little scary, especially in the basketball world, because now it's hard for me to get into college and play for coaches, because
they're like, I don't want to touch you because
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to get sued and all this.
Did you go to college on a basketball scholarship?
No, I did not. So yeah, that kind of derailed a lot of stuff. So
was that what you wanted to be when you grew up? You were like, I want to play in the NBA.
No, actually my dream was always to play in college. So I did play in college. So I lived out my dreams.
Cool.
Actually, at the age of 30, I've done a lot of things that I wanted to do. So now I'm as a 30-year-old now, I'm like, okay, what's the next move? Because I've done a lot of fun, cool stuff in my life, and I've pretty much done everything I wanted to do when I was a kid. Now it's like, okay, what's next? You know, what do I do next?
You didn't want to be like Jason Kidd. You didn't want to be like
not really.
Steph Curry.
It didn't make sense to me to play 84 games a year.
Oh.
Like, I just thought that was stupid.
You're like 12 games, cool. 16 games, fine.
I mean, high school is like 28 games. College is like 35.
Yeah.
But like 84 games a year, like... Who in their right mind would do that to their body?
Oh, okay. You know? Yeah, your body's a temple.
You can't pay me enough to, like, you know, not be able to walk at 70. You know,
sure. Well, and it's the same thing with football players with all those traumatic head injuries. Man. And it's terrible because
I question my mind now. Because
right.
I hit my head a bunch of times when I was playing basketball before the movie Concussion came out.
So right.
The NC2A sent me something in the mail saying that there's a lawsuit that I'm going to get paid for it for the concussion stuff. So that's cool.
Wow.
It might be like $20 something like that. There's so many people who played. But, you know, I question some things going in my mind. I'm like, man, you know, like I probably had a bunch of mini concussions just hitting my head on the floor, you know, getting knocked down.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's why LeBron James spends $1 million a year on his body just to keep his body in shape.
Well, LeBron, I can't tell you. I got to say, I was so happy on Sunday. I haven't been more happy on a Sunday watching the Cavs lose to the Pacers. I mean, it was like a blowout. I'm like, they're up by 19 points. Yeah. Suck it, LeBron. Oh, was it going to be your ninth year in the finals? Oh, the ninth year, blah, blah, blah. I can't wait for this to be. He's been in the finals 8 years in a row. Give someone else a chance. Go do some acting, buddy. Remember that movie you were in? Like, go do that. Give someone else a chance.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You still a big basketball fan, though? I mean,
not really, no.
Really?
No, not really. Mm-mm.
So you don't care that much about the Warriors right now?
I mean, no, I'm so happy that the Warriors are doing what they're doing, because I when I was a kid, like, you know, Warriors Coliseum down the street, you know, and I've been to games where it's just like, oh my God, we're getting killed right now.
Yeah, we weren't
and
so
just,
great in the
games. Yeah, dude, just to watch that crap. And now to see that they're killing it, it's like, it's an amazing thing to watch. And they play good basketball, too. They
absolutely.
Play really good basketball.
The psychic pass is coming back again. I love the psychic passing.
What does that mean?
That's when one of, like, Clay's looking this way and then he throws the ball that way and like something happens. Iguodala's like, of course I'm right there. Like, something happens, like some ninja moves.
Yeah.
And then the psychic passing.
They're well-oiled machine.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah. I love basketball. When I was little, I grew up in Danville, so we would come over all the time and see A's.
So you went to
games.
A mega church in Danville, California?
Yeah.
There's mega churches in California?
Well, they were like 4,000. I mean... It was huge. That was, I mean.
Wow. I didn't even know that existed.
There were like 4,000 people in our.
Does that church still exist?
Yeah, CPC, Community Presbyterian
CPC.
Church.
CPC. I'll look it up. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it was Ron Lee Davis was the name of the pastor who just shook me. Because I was like.
It's gross.
When I was little and I remember going to Sunday school and stuff and. I was always the questioner. I'd be like, but why? But what's the point? And my teachers, they would get kind of mad at me and be like, you just have to accept it. And I was like, and they kept saying, it's all based on faith, okay? Like, so yeah, you've got to, yes, there is a leap there. There is a question mark that you just have to go, uh-huh, I believe. It's like that book by C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. And he goes through and he's like building up this big argument. And then the end of every fucking chapter is, it's faith. She's got to believe.
I know. And you know what? I actually grew up in the Baptist church, right? So I didn't really believe any of that crap until after, like, in college. It took me a while, but I had to go because my parents made me go. So I would go, whatever. But that was my argument, is that every question I ask is because God did it. Like, that's it.
Right.
Like, can I get a little bit more?
Sure.
So it took me, like, studying philosophy to get me all the way back, because I think that's what we need to do for children. If you're going to put them in the church, is start them from Plato all the way to now, you know, because Plato came before Jesus Christ. So, or was it after? I think it was before Jesus Christ. And then he comes, and then, you know, you have the Judea law and all that ever stuff, you know. And that's the thing about the Jewish law, the Old Testament, is that these are laws, the laws aren't there. If you don't do these laws, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. That's not what the laws are there for.
They're to keep a good society together.
Yeah.
My favorite Bible verse.
Heaven on earth.
Leviticus 20:12, one of my favorite Bible verses. If you sleep with your father-in-law, you should both be stoned. I love to be stoned, and my ex-father-in-law, he was hot. My ex-husband was black, and his dad, Big Austin, he's a good-looking guy. If I was going to sleep with him, yeah, we should get stoned. Just give me some of that good 70s weed, bro. Like, no, it's a, I mean, I get it. There's another thing, like, people say in the God hates fags or whatever, and it's like, okay, well, if you look at the Old Testament contextually, when the Jews were being overrun by everybody, like everyone's fucking with them. They're slaves and they're stealing their children. They're stealing their little boys and putting them into sex slavery and all this kind of stuff. Of course you would say, like, if a man lies with another man, it's terrible and it's an abomination, because what was happening to them,
right?
They were being raped and pillaged constantly by everybody. And they're like, you know, it's the other one, Lot's wife. Like, when the angels come and he's like, no, 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 take my daughters. Don't rape these angels. These angels are good. Take the daughters. But they didn't
they're
like
hot.
Their sons. They're hot. They didn't like their sons being raped. They didn't care about the daughters, though. They're like, sleep with them.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, you should do biblical jokes. You have a whole captive audience.
I don't know.
Is it offensive? Do you find it? Do you think it's offensive?
I just don't find it funny. Yeah, I don't find biblical jokes that funny. Unless I'm like making fun of the Christian religion, then it's like, okay, I'm not going to do that.
But right, right.
I don't know. Biblical jokes, like you said, people do need to have a reference, right? They need a point of reference. And just because someone's in church doesn't mean they know the Bible.
That's true too.
So like, yeah. So it's like, I mean, I don't really do biblical jokes like that. I did have a whole bit on how Jesus would be a terrible roommate.
inviting his friends over, yeah. People with leprosy.
Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. He's Why keep bringing these people over here?
Unless it's tax collectors and prostitutes. I mean, everyone knows that's a fun time. Like, that's a party. It's party Jesus.
Or you pick up a rag and like, Jesus, did you use my rag? And you're like, don't you lie to me, Jesus. I see your face right here.
Biblical jokes.
Yeah,
what are we? We have about 5 minutes left. What do you want to? What do you want to?
Plug
beliefs. Yeah, plug. There you
go.
How big is your congregation?
It's about 400.
Wow.
People, but there's only about maybe 150 active members, like people who actually show up.
Right.
So we have a lot of people in the catalog, but they don't always show up.
They show up at Christmas and Easter.
Christmas and Easter. Yep. Yeah. Yep. But yeah. So some shameless plugs. So I make music. So I have a couple shows coming up. I have
culturally conscious hip hop. Or is it like
culturally conscious hip hop?
Well, like,
yeah, I guess so.
Like, you know, you say nice things instead of, you're like, drink a smoothie, do some push-ups, or like good
yeah,
things instead
kinda.
Of being like,
yeah.
Instead of being like, suck my dick,
yeah.
Get on your knees.
I'm more into George Clinton's notion of edutainment.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a mixture of education and entertainment. And so I have maybe one song that I'm just doing like rap cadence. But it's not like I'm putting anybody down. You know, a lot of rappers, they say, oh, F you, I'm the best. I don't really do all that, because I try to stay as humble as possible. But I do, you know, I do talk about different subject matters. So if you go to JuwanRubin.com, so I have all my music. One of my favorite songs on my website is called E-People. E-People, just about like, it's basically about, you know, people who are, you know, not real anymore.
Right.
They, everything is email, e-this, e-that,
right,
e-cigarette.
Right. And
so now we have e-people who just don't want to get off their screen. I have a line in there talking about, you know, selfie whores waiting for a like on their post while their baby's in the corner asking for their baba and their mama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that stuff is sad that we're so, it's ego. Like, can you imagine, like, when we were little, if we had a Polaroid camera and we took pictures of our food or whatever we wanted to say, and we put it on the wall, and then we invited all our friends over, and we're like, come over and touch the pictures that you like. Like, put a sticker on these pictures so that I can feel validation about myself and what I did today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane that
I'm actually working on a bit right now about how, you know, because there's studies that came out that likes hit the same part of your brain as cocaine and sugar does, right?
Wow.
So people are just addicted to likes, you know?
Wow.
That's why the lady went to YouTube and shot up YouTube.
Right.
Because she wasn't getting enough likes.
She wasn't getting enough likes in her entire...
She needed that likes.
Because this gets back to religion. The emptiness is so vast inside them, and they don't know what to fill it with, that the only thing they can fill it with is validation, from external validation. validation. Yeah. And maybe that's the lesson, that external validation is meaningless. Yeah. It has to internally come from your own choice and volition and light. And it can't be, I'm doing this to make this person happy, or I'm doing this to make somebody like me. It has to be like just your natural state of being. And expression is what it is.
Yeah.
And if people like that, cool.
If they don't, then
you can't.
Can't make anyone do anything they don't want to do, right?
Right. So, but it's just, that's
because we're not human doings or human actings. We're human beings.
Yeah.
So we should be, you know, that's what we should be. But back to the shameless plugs. So I'm doing a hip hop show on 420.
Oh, cool.
It is on 1445 Haight Street.
Awesome.
So it's a 420 show. Okay. So
is that at Milk Bar?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Somewhere on Haight.
Somewhere on Haight, yeah. And then, I don't know. It's a big festival, so I think it's in the grass or somewhere.
Oh, that's neat. You're doing the 420 festival.
Is that what that is?
Well, it's on Hippie Hill at 420 and all that. There's tons of people.
Okay.
Like 10,000 people come out for 420.
Someone
they put a big
me.
Stage out there. And but if it's 1445 Haight, it's probably at Milk Bar.
Probably.
Here, keep plugging and I'll look for you.
Okay, so I got that on 420, 1445 Haight Street. Come out. It's between 12 and 6. Come on out. I'll probably go up around 4. Okay, 4 or 5. And then also, I've started working with a new artist. So I do music for other artists as well. So his name is Marcel. So start looking out for him. He has a show on Sunday, May 27, 2018, with another artist that I'm working with named Naki Moalo. You can look up Naki Moalo on YouTube. She has some really good reggae music. It's really off the chain. But if you want to follow me, so that's Marcel and Naki Moalo. You can follow those two people. But if you want to follow me, my YouTube channel and my Instagram is both under Awesome Multimedia. So that's OSOM Multimedia, all one word. And then my Snapchat is under JAYDUBAR, JADABAR, which is the person I went under before I rebranded myself. So before I was a minister, I went by JADABAR because I come from such a Christian family. I had to change my name if I was going to be doing like raunchy comedy and raunchy music out
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then JawanRubin.com, JawanRubin.com. You can find out all my shows, all my music, all my YouTube videos, everything.
I don't understand Snapchat. I don't even have a smartphone. I'm too old for all these things. Mm-hmm. What is Snapchat?
So
do you believe in it? It's good. You
Snapchat,
have a lot of followers.
Snapchat from the individual standpoint or from the brand standpoint?
How do you find it an effective tool of social media?
Yeah, I use it for work. I use it for business, you know what I'm saying? But like if I was an individual, I mean, a lot of people just kind of, I don't know what the heck they use it for. Because the thing about social media, period, when Facebook first came to me, I was like, what the heck is this? This is stupid. Why would I do this? But then when I started, you know, working for myself and not really working at a job or doing a job and kind of doing comedy and all the other stuff, I was like, okay, this is a good communication tool.
Right.
That's
right.
The whole point of it.
Right.
Snapchat, Facebook, all that stuff. It's just a communication tool. So the way Snapchat works is that you get about a 10-second video. Now you can do longer, but when it first started, it was only 10 seconds. But they'll chop if you do it all the way through. They'll just kind of chop through. But anyway,
people like to you say like, hey, I'm gonna be doing this show. Come out and see me, and then you give them a line. You're like, boop dee boop 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 ba.
Right. So I'll plug something. I'll say, hey, I got this going on at this time. And then all my followers will see it if they want to. So you have an option of seeing it if you want. So there's a list of all your people that you follow, and then when as people are posting, you can click on if you want to.
All of your e people,
and then you can DM direct message people, but it only lasts
through Snapchat.
Yeah, but it only lasts for like a day or
Why
24
not
hours.
Just text. I don't see the thing. I don't understand is. Like, we already had the technology for all of it. We had phones that text, and we need to have a. I have to have a video. I don't know.
Think about if you want to just send someone a quick video real quick. You know,
I would never do. That. My phone doesn't even have. My phone can take pictures, but barely. Like I can't. It has a voice recorder that's terrible. Like it's a dumb phone. Look at this.
Okay, here's a good. Here's
it doesn't
a good,
even attach to the internet.
So here's a good one. So when okay, how about this? So when I was looking for a house with my brother, and we couldn't go see the showing at the same time, I just take a quick snap and say, okay, this is the bathroom. Hey, this is the living room. This is the outside.
Okay.
And then he can kind of see it real quick, and then it goes away. Now the point of it disappearing in 24 hours is so that no one can steal your content, basically.
Oh.
Yeah, because if you put it on Facebook, someone can rip it.
Yeah, it's there forever, and you actually have a product. See, all of our podcasts here are free, so I'm like, take them, do whatever. Right. There's already free. Like, just share it with people. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. Like, I mean, content. I mean, find me, fairy agent. Right. Swoop me up out of obscurity. Find me. Take it.
Yeah, because on YouTube, if someone goes to your YouTube page and sees a video, they can rip it. They can download it. It's not legal, but there's certain tools that you can do to just rip their video. But on Snap, you can't do that. You don't have the possibility. But if you have a picture, right, with the smartphone, you can take a screenshot of the picture. Now, the thing about that is, if you take a screenshot of someone's picture, they get a notification that you did that.
Wow. Well, that's good, though, because I would think that the main purpose of Snapchat would be showing your dick to people.
That was, I don't know if that was the reason why, but that when Snapchat first started, that's what a lot of people were doing.
Because it just disappears.
Yeah.
So it's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, you got to see it, but now it's gone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just weird to me. Yeah. So everyone go to JawanRubin.com and check out his upcoming shows.
Yeah.
When are you doing comedy? You mentioned all your hip-hop things. When's your next comedy gig?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. I've been doing open mics, just working out material, starting, you know, because I came from Orange County about 3 years ago, and then when I came back, I kind of was, you know, just doing open mics because I needed some new material, some new stuff. And so right now, you know, just follow, you know, if you follow me on Facebook or on Instagram, all the, you know, the names I gave you for my Instagram and Facebook, basically you can find out when I'm doing an open mic, because a lot of times it's pretty random. But as far as a comedy show, I mean, like this Friday, for my 420 show, that's kind of what I started doing, was I would mend the comedy with the music.
Oh, great.
So it's like I am doing a set, but it's not just a set.
Sure.
So I'll do some jokes, but then now a song comes.
Sure,
I'll
sure.
do some more jokes, and now another song.
That's,
you know,
great.
So it's kind of, you know, I it's not purely stand-up comedy. I wouldn't call it that.
It's more palatable for the whole audience, because not everybody wants to listen to jokes. All the time.
Not really.
Yeah.
But I'm open to doing some more shows. So if anybody is out there that wants to put me on one of their gigs, I'll go for it. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's just the music. And then as far as comedy, I think I'm booking out shows in the next couple months. Some of them will be comedy shows. So
I have an idea, and I want you to do it with me, possibly. And we'll talk after. One of the playoff games coming up with the Warriors, it would be fun to show it. We have a digital projector to project it on the wall, and then do our own commentary. Do comedy commentary.
Hell yeah.
On top of the Warriors game.
Because I have totally funny things to say.
Right, and there's really funny. I mean, and when doing basketball commentary is really fun, because it's like really fast, and all these things are happening, and there's a lot of, like, it's almost like sometimes they're shit talking each other, but you know they aren't because they get a technical. But I've seen Draymond be like, fuck. I've seen, like, Draymond Green saying fuck again.
Yeah, I'm super down to do that. That'll be fun and hilarious. One of the things I do when I watch basketball is I watch it on mute most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the commentators suck. Yeah. They don't know what the heck they're talking about.
And they're talking about weird shit, like, themselves. They're like, when we had that barbecue last weekend, I'm like,
remember that barbecue?
What
we
are
went
you
to
talking about, you guys?
Like, dude, I don't care about that. Talk about the game, dude. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm always down to put some of my own commentary on there. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, because we'd basically just do it live on the air like this, but watch it and have people come in, and it could be really
That'd be
fun.
Hilarious. Yeah, I'd be down to do that.
Yay, Juwan Rubin. Thank you so much. You have been an amazing guest.
Awesome.
And
I know you tell everybody that.
No, I don't. It's great to have real Christians on here. And
awesome.
The ones that have been on have been knocking it out of the park.
Awesome.
All the atheist comics, it's like, okay, it's like, tell me something new.
Right.
But this was great. And whenever you want to come back, you always have an open invitation, because
top.
This was a really, really great one, and I'm
awesome.
Super stoked. Thank you guys for listening to
Thank
Some
you.
Call Me Tim. Again, check out JawanRubin.com, and listen to other things some Mutiny Radio. We've got 4 open mics a week here. Come on by, visit us. Sundays 4 to 6, Mondays 6 to 8, Thursdays 7 to 9,
nice.
Fridays 6 to 8. And
try to come through.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with Devorah. And I know I'm not supposed to pronounce the D or something like that. It's Devorah Kesslan or something like that. She's a comedian. Thanks again, everybody. Bye.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, everybody. Listen to The Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to The Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer. Run!
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayaks yelling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
Well, hello, boys and girls. You know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers would use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that gets you up to the front in all the right places. It's cannabis energy. It seems the faster you go, the more cannabis energy you need. So if you want to win, you have to have lots of cannabis energy. And the swellest way I know to get it is just by using Green Army Skincare. Boy, they're just crammed full of cannabis energy. There are more cannabis energy units in one lip balm tube than you use circling the base 10 times or when you ride your bike 4 miles across the city. And it's fast acting. Why, no sooner that you apply some balm to your mouth or pain areas, you practically feel the new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Green Army Skincare is a good, wholesome product. They're made with body-nourishing cannabis and other natural ingredients. So go out there today and pick up some Green Army Skincare products from your local cannabis procurement center. Join the GreenArmy.com.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to invite you down to Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District in San Francisco at 806 South Van Ness. We've got great food by our kitchen counter offer, burgers, tater tots, tachos, corn dogs, all sorts of good stuff like that. They're open from opening until 11 p.m. most days of the week, except Saturday. Every Saturday night, we've got live rock and roll, some of the best local bands in San Francisco and touring acts as well. Come on down, 10 p.m., rock and roll, only night of the week. We have a $5 cover charge, always $5 for live rock and roll. We're open from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m., Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 to 2. Come on down, have some drinks with us. We've got Whiskey Wednesday, Tequila Tuesday, and we've always got the Steve McQueen special, a shot of Bullet Bourbon and a can of California Lager for $8. Come down and enjoy our patio. It's open in the afternoon, not really in the evening, but a lot of good folks hanging out back there. Come on down, give us a shout. Drop by the bar, make some friends. Thanks, folks. Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District, San Francisco, California.
With a happy hour every Monday through Friday until 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Go to Bender's Bar. Big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh yeah, it goes down. Come smoke with your boy. Grinder.
Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you. Coming at these bitches and all these snitches, hitting switches, going rags to riches.
Rainbow Grocery, a worker-owned and operated food cooperative located at 1745 Folsom Street in the Mission District of San Francisco. Let's hear what locals have to say about Rainbow Grocery.
Their bulk section is dope AF.
I love their variety of cheese and home decor items and this of unique items that you can't find anywhere else.
Their cheese section is insane.
I love Rainbow Grocery because it's the number one grocery store to shop at when you're having a potluck and need to fulfill everyone's dietary needs.
They don't have meat. Rainbow Grocery Cooperative, an amazing San Francisco staple since 1975.
For all your space chicken sci-fi comedy non-political humor needs, go to timstesseract.com. Read fiction about the future of San Francisco after the water wars of 2120.
Oh shit.
Just
did I just hit this?
Like, hey, you pop, man. Why you riding the bus? Keep it going in the Middle East, man.
need is an iPhone. All we need is an iPhone. Hey, everybody. If you are listening to Mutiny Radio, you just turned into Some Call Me Tim. Today's going to be a little bit different on Some Call Me Tim. My guest, I don't believe, is arriving today because I just... Anyways, let's get to the point. I have these amazing raps that... it's called Hot Dirty P and the Sheriff. I am Hot Dirty P, Pam Benjamin, and the Sheriff is the Sheriff of Truth, LaToya Sharif Wynn. And we together made this whole grouping of songs. I'm going to play them all for you today. It's our album. They are all political. They were all one-offs. We did them live on the spot during the AltaCast. And we're trying to put them together in a way to get them out to more listeners. So thanks for listening to Some Call Me Tim. But today we are going to listen to the new hot album, still not out. We're going to drop it soon. Hot Dirty P and the Sheriff. This was our first song, Susan Olson.
Trump support. I think Trump supporters are funny to me, really. I don't think we should take them off the air all the time.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to, this is a rap background. We're going to rap to it. We'll get a little beat. Hey there, little pussy. Let me get my big boy pants on and really take you on. What a snake in the grass. You are, you lying piece of shit. What? Too cowardly to confront me in real life. You do it on Facebook. You're the biggest faggot ass in the world. Biggest pussy, pussy, pussy. My dick is bigger than yours. Which ain't saying much. What a true piece of shit you are, lying faggot. Your karma slowly and painfully. Say slowly and painfully. I'm Susan Olson.
Oh, slowly.
I said Susan Olson
and painfully.
They call me Cindy and Brady. My name is Susan Olson and I love Trump today. Olson.
Brady. Get it. Brady.
I hope. I sincerely hope you reap all this that you deserve. Karma wise, you pathetic little cunt you are. Hell is waiting for you. Enjoy. Hell is waiting for you. Enjoy.
What?
Hell is waiting for you. Enjoy. Slowly.
What?
Slowly. And painfully. My name is Susan Olson. Susan Olson.
What?
Susan Olson. Susan Olson. They call me Cindy. Susan Olson. Cindy Brady.
I make America great again.
Making America great. What a pathetic little cunt you are. Hell is waiting for you. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
His name is Martin.
Enjoy.
Don't call me Martin.
Enjoy.
I'm living in that Martin.
Enjoy.
Susan Olson, the biggest cunt. That was good, right? Did we just make a song?
I'm gonna guess waffles.
Yo, that is incorrect. Actually, Alex.
We're gonna see what happens here. As we're gonna bring up. We're gonna start with a little West Coast gangsta rap in the background, and we're gonna see what happens.
God, I'm gonna love this already.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good one.
Is it going? It should be
better. We should be hearing it. And I do. Oh, can you put four up?
Yep.
There we go. Here, we'll start it over. Okay, here we go. Here we go. These are. Ariana Huffington is unattractive, both inside and out.
What?
I fully understand why her former husband left her for a man.
What?
For a man?
For a man?
Huffington is unattractive, both inside and out. I fully understand why her former husband left her for a man.